All right. Can you feel the love? Can you feel it? It's in the air, right? Many of us felt the love this week because it was Valentine's Day, right? And it's the season of love, right? Every cheesy love story is playing on the Hallmark Channel, or everyone everywhere is scrambling, right, to find the perfect gift for that perfect person, right? How many of you love a good traditional love story, right? Like the love story in the movie The Notebook, right? Guy and girl fall in love, but guy goes off to war and girl tries to move on but can't, right? Because even years later, guy is the one, right? Or Dirty Dancing. My mom is here and that's one of her favorite movies. Girl's father, right? Girl goes, I guess, to a resort and finds a guy dancing up a storm, and girl's father forbids her to dance, right, with guy. But nothing can keep them apart, right? No one puts baby in a corner. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about a love story that's in the Bible, right? And no, it's not in Song of Solomon, so all of you can breathe a sigh of relief. We're not going there. This story doesn't look like anything of the traditional romantic relationships that we're used to, right? This story is a story of unfaithful love, right? Filled with heartbreak and adultery, and one side is running and the other side is chasing, right? This is the story of Hosea. And through this sad and unimaginably taxing story, we get a glimpse of the unmeasurable love that God has for us. So before we begin this love story, I wanted to give you a little bit of background. How many of you know what an object lesson is? Only the teachers are raising their hand. That's it. It's the only ones. Right. Well, an object lesson is something that serves as kind of a hands-on example to convey a message or to get your point across. So the dictionary defines it as something that serves as a practical example of a principle or an abstract idea. So God would use these object lessons, right, in the Old Testament to teach his people, which were the Israelites. But God, however, did this in a really unique way because he didn't just tell the story to his people, right? He used his prophets and their lives and their situations and the way that they were serving as an object lesson, right? They were to be put on display to convey how he was going to interact with the nation of Israel. And sometimes these lessons were difficult. Right, sometimes it was hard for the prophets. And this is where God's prophet Hosea comes in. So Hosea was a prophet of God, meaning that God spoke through him to the people of Israel. Right, Hosea lived in a time where Israel had great wealth, great prosperity. The city had grown and it had fostered kind of a small class of rich. But the majority of the population was poor. And they were frequently exploited, and they were enslaved by the rich. So the rich were favored by the rulers and the judges, and they readily adopted a lot of the gods from the heathen people. They turned away from the God of Israel and began to adopt the ways of their neighbors and began to worship them. So right, they had a lot of stuff. Right? They were rich. They had a lot of stuff, but they decayed spiritually. They weren't rich in spiritual things. And they had started to live like the people around them. They started to look differently. They didn't follow the God that they knew and his ways. So the people of Israel saw how the people around them were living. And they started to think, man, right, we know the way that we're living is hard, right? It's hard to be like this. And that looks so much more appealing, right? They're having way more fun than I'm having, right? And I know that God told us that we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't be living like that, but maybe I'll just try it out. Maybe I'll just see, right? So God wanted to speak to his people about this situation and how they were living. And he decided to use Hosea and his marriage as a very unique object lesson. So we're going to take a look at Hosea 1, 2 through 3. And it says, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty and unfaithful to the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Dibla. And she conceived and bore him a son. So you can see here, right, that God told Hosea to go and marry a promiscuous woman. Right, and some translations say prostitute. Some say a wife of whoredom. Some just blankly say whore. Some say a wife of harlotry. Right, so all of this would have been a woman who had some baggage, right? She had a history of sleeping around, right? So the word faithful would not really have been a word that was used to describe this woman. So I like to imagine Hosea's reaction, right? Because I imagine things, I'm a dreamer. What he would have been told when God said this, right? What would he have imagined? Like, seriously, Lord, right? Like, I'm a faithful servant. I'm a prophet. I'm a faithful servant of yours. Right? I've given you my life. And I always imagined, right, that I'd get married, and it would be beautiful, and it would be wonderful, and we would have children, like 10 of them running around. Maybe not that many, maybe like 2, because 10's a lot. I've got 1. Right, but it would be beautiful, right? And she would only have eyes for me. But we don't really know what Hosea is thinking, because that's just me. It just says that Hosea was faithful, right? And he found a woman named Gomer. And just a totally unrelated side note, if you ever have a baby girl, please, please, please don't name her Gomer. It's biblical, yeah, but not really the person you want to be named after. So just don't. Anyway, Hosea found Gomer, right? And he married her, and eventually they had kids. So now you're probably wondering, why in the world would God be asking Hosea to marry a woman who was clearly not marriage material? Right? God did this because just like Gomer was going to be an adulterous wife and wander away from her husband and the vows that she took to him, Israel, God's chosen people, had strayed away from God. And the Bible uses this picture as God, as a husband, and Israel as the wife. In fact, this picture kind of carries into the New Testament, and God is seen as the husband and the church then is the wife. And this particular relationship between God and church means that they should be committed to one another. Right? And God was not happy with the way that his wife was living. Right? He wasn't happy with the way that Israel was living. He was upset. God was upset that the people of Israel had ignored him. Right? They had turned away from him, and they turned to other gods. And the thing is, we live in this same world today. We live in a world and a culture that says, do whatever that makes you feel good. Whatever your heart desires, you can have it. It's yours. Take it. YOLO. Do whatever you want. we live in a way that is totally countercultural than what the Bible tells us that our lives should look like. Right, what our values are, what is important, what is truth. When we become Christians, we commit to God like a husband and wife commit to each other. But I gotta tell you that sometimes, even in my own life, I've thought to myself as I looked around those who aren't following God's will, man, their life looks good. Right? It looks fun. It looks exciting. They can do whatever they want and not seem to carry that guilt or that shame around for living that kind of lifestyle. Sometimes as Christians, we do the exact same thing as Israel. We can be easily wooed by the ways of the world and give in to living like the people around us. I know in my own life, I have given in to the idea that things will make me happy. Right? If I could just have this thing, or even if we just lived in this kind of house, I would be happy. Right? I've put my body through cleanses and unhealthy diets, right? Because the idea that smaller is better, and maybe more people will love me if I look like that. I've said and done things that I'm not proud of. Right? At times, my life looked no different than the people around me. So you see, Hosea's love story and life isn't just for the people of Israel. It's for us. Hosea's love story is an object lesson for us today. God isn't happy when our lives start to look like the lives around us, when we begin to follow the patterns of the world. God has so much better for us than anything that this world could ever offer us. Take a look at 1 John 2:15. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." Right? His commands and his boundaries and his parameters are good for us. Not because God didn't want us to have fun or enjoy life. He gave them to us because he knows what our life could look like at the end of those choices, right? At the end of those hurts, at the end of those mistakes, at the end of those regrets. And he doesn't want us to have to live with that. So let's jump back into Hosea's story. So what God thinks will happen does. Surprise. Gomer cheated and left Hosea. Right, she said, "I don't love you anymore." This is me in my imagination, but I can't imagine it went any different than this. Right, "I don't love you anymore. Right, I have found someone better than you." And right here in the darkness that sometimes creeps right into marriage, it would have been so easy for Hosea to walk away. So easy, right? It's his right to say, "I don't have to put up with this. I didn't sign up for this." Right? You're not holding your end of the deal. I'm done. If you want to find someone new, fine. Go. But take a look at what happens. Look at Hosea 3, 1 through 3. "The Lord said to me, 'Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and she is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. And then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way towards you. Right? Apparently, Gomer had left Hosea, and she couldn't afford to live on her own. Right? So she sold herself into slavery or somehow became indebted to someone else to the point that she actually had to be purchased back. Right? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine how embarrassing that would have been for Hosea, not only to have to track his wife down and pull her out of a terrible situation that she put herself into, but he actually had to buy her back. And that's the part that I love about Hosea, right? He doesn't give up. Right? He pursues her, and he found her, and he loved her, and he promised to be faithful to her, and he brought her back. Right? Gomer hadn't begged to be back. She didn't say, please let me come back. I've made a mistake, right? She didn't even say that she'd be different or even apologize and say that she was sorry. Hosea met her where she was, and he loved her. Don't forget that, remember, this was how Israel was to learn. Right? God was telling the Israelites, even in your wandering, I want you. God was telling the Israelites, I choose you. You are mine. Living this way is going to lead you into bondage, but I'm going to buy you back. No matter what you have done, no matter how many times that you've said that you don't love me or you have found someone else and you've broken my heart, I want to show you grace. And that's the very best part of Hosea's story, right? Because it's our story. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have done, no matter how far that you have run, God is willing to go the distance for you. We are all a part of that perfect love story. Right? He will seek you. He will love you. He will promise to be faithful to you. And he will bring you back. So I need you to know that if you have wandered, God hasn't left you. God hasn't discarded you, and you still have unimaginable worth and value to him. You are a prized possession that will never, ever be too broken, ever. God wants you to be in relationship with him. He wants you to come back. And he offers you the forgiveness that when you come before him and you confess and admit that you've strayed, everything is wiped clean. Everything. So maybe you're here this morning and you've never been in a relationship with God before. I need you to know that this is an exclusive. Right, that this can be your love story too. You can know the love of a God that will never stop loving you and is always going to be faithful to you no matter the circumstances. You won't find any better love story in your life than the love story that God has for you. So I'm going to pray with us this morning as a group, as the worship team comes back up, that we would look at what Hosea's love story was, and we would really evaluate what that looks like in our own lives and make a decision that we don't ever want to be the same. So why don't you pray with me? God, thank you for loving us. Right? Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins. I know that I have messed up more times than I could count, but that didn't stop you from pursuing me, right? From calling me out of the world and to be different, to be set apart. And I thank you for stripping away that guilt and that shame, right, that I carried from some of those decisions that I made when you forgave me. Thank you for washing me, for washing us clean of our past, for telling me that I have worth and have always had worth. So God, I want this church to be changed. I want lives to be changed this morning. So would you put a desire in our heart to be in relationship with you? Let us turn away from the ways of the world. Let us not be wooed and distracted. God, teach us to follow you. Teach us to use our lives to show others of your love. Amen.